שאני קלם כלכלי ואני מגמר. קיישב דריטה שוקר הרופה ג'יה ג'גדישה הרי ג'יה רדה מלהבה קונג'בי הרי Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Dana Balava Girivaradhari Gopi Janabalaba Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janabalaba Girivaradhari Gopi Janabalaba Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Banachari Jamuna Tira Banachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prabhupada Stotarashti Shishimada Bhai Charanada Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रिव्राज कचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्रीमान शिल भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोसाई महाराज की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव की जय। नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम गहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासारी गौर भक्तवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गो गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधाकुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की श्री वृंदावन धाम की श्री मायापुर नवदीप धाम की श्री जगन्नाथपुरी की तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जमुना देवी गंगा देवी की सामवेत भक्तवृंद की। All glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to the assembled devotees. Lord Varahadev ki Gopremanande. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya. Naram chaiva narottamam. Devim sarasatim vyasam. Tato jaya mudiraye. Yeah, but maybe I'll have the third canto also. I'll have the third canto also. May I? Couldn't decide what to read. Well, here we have a verse. 27 and 28. I think 27 is listed on the board. This is from Canto 6 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 18. Diti vows to kill King Indra. Thank you. This one. Thank you, sir. Iti bhavena sa partur. Achachara sakrit priyam. Shushusha yanuragina. Prashrayena damena cha. Iti bhavena sa bartur. Achachara sakrit priyam. Shushushayanuragena. Prashrayena dhamena cha. Iti bhavena sa bartu. Achachara sakrit priyam. Shushushayanuragena. Prashrayena dhamena cha. Bhavena sabhartu achachara shakti priyam. Yeah. Vaishnavis, iti bhavena sabhatur, achachara sakritpriyam, shushushayanuragena, prashayena tamena cha. Iti, thus, bhavena, with the intention. Sa, she, partuhu, of the husband, achachara, performed, asakrit, constantly, priyam, pleasing, pleasing activities, shushrushaya, with service, anuragina, with love, prashrayena, with humility, damena, with self-control, cha, also, bhaktya paramaya rajan manognir valgubhashitahi mano jagraha bhavagnya sasmita panga vikshanahi bhaktya, with devotion, paramaya, great, rajan, O king, manognyai, charming, balgubhashitahi, with sweet words, manaha, his mind, jagraha, brought under her control, bhavagnya, knowing his nature, susmita, sasmita, with smiling, apanga vikshanahi, by glancing. Translation. Thinking in this way, that is, Ditti's thinking this way, okay. Thinking in this way, with a desire for a son to kill Indra, Ditti began constantly acting to satisfy Kashyapa by her pleasing behavior. O King, Ditti always carried out Kashyapa's orders very faithfully as he desired, with service, love, humility, and control, with words spoken very sweetly to satisfy her husband, and with smiles and glances at him. Diti attracted his mind and brought it under her control. Would you like to repeat? I'm not convinced. Thinking in this way, with a desire for a son to kill Indra, Diti began constantly acting to satisfy Kashyapa by her pleasing behavior. O king, Ditti always carried out Kashyapa's orders very faithfully, as he desired, with service, love, humility, and control, with words spoken very sweetly to satisfy her husband, and with smiles and glances at him. Ditti attracted his mind and brought it under her control. Purport. When a woman wants to endear herself to her husband and make him very faithful, she must try to please him in all respects. When the husband is pleased with his wife, the wife can receive all necessities, ornaments, and full satisfaction for her senses. Herein this is indicated by the behavior of Ditti. Om Agyanatimadandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Viditam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Tina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Gaur Premanande Haribo. And now I'm going to read the next verse, which doesn't have a purport. However, I believe that there's somewhat of a purport embedded within the translation itself, because it relates to this verse. And it's 29. Evam striya jadi bhuto vidvanapi manogyaya bhadham ityaha vishva vivasho vivasho na tach chitram hi yoshiti. The translation. Although Kashyapa Muni was a learned scholar, he was captivated by Diti's artificial behavior, which brought him under her control. Therefore, he assured his wife that he will fulfill her desires. Such a promise by a husband is not at all astonishing. And I found the word artificial in this translation to be interesting. It's not in the word for word, but it relates to the behavior that she's exhibited in the previous verse, which is described as Achachara, asakrit priyam, achachara, she's performing activities constantly to please him. That achachara verb, probably the noun is the acharya, right? Acharya is one who shows by example how to act. And this Shushushaya, with service. We know, like, Shushusho Shadadhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi. So one who's very serious about hearing and chanting about and serving the devotees can develop devotional service. But she was with this service attitude, anuragina, with love. Keep in mind, however, while I'm reading these descriptions of her activities, that it's artificial. It's artifice. It means it's an imitation of the real thing. That's what artificial means. And her humility, prashrayena, damena, self-control, bhaktya, devotion, paramaya, great devotion, fake, artificial, as mentioned in the next verse. So she's performing all these kinds of outwardly, she's showing these great devotional symptoms of love, devotion, self-control and so on, but within her heart, she's maintaining a desire to get what she wants for herself. So this is not real submission. This is not real devotion, but it's a ploy. It's artificial because she wants to get something from Kashyapa. And this is the pervading symptom of the material world, which is artificial itself. Even the forms we see in this world are artificial, in the sense that they're only reflections of the real thing. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Urdva mula madashakam ashvatam prahuravyayam jandamsi yasiparnani yastam veda savedavit. And in these few verses in the beginning of the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes how this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. It's a banyan tree. That reflection comes from the spiritual world, but here in this material world, it's temporary, whereas in the spiritual world, it's eternal. 180 degrees and 180 degrees. So this half, the material world, is a reflection of the spiritual world. So it's temporary and artificial. So Krishna told Brahma, in one of the most important verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ratertam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tadvidyanat manomayam yatapaso yatatamaha. That anything that you see without relationship to me, in other words, everything has relationship to Krishna, but if you see it separately from Krishna, it's maya, artificial. It has no real substance, just the reflection. And so this is the essence of understanding how to attain the real perfection in life, which is that one must not be artificial. And external circumstances or the show of devotion externally may or may not be real. In the Bhagavatam also, Shukadeva Goswami says, Tadashmasharam hridayam batedam yagrihamanar harinamadeyai. He says that the heart is steel-framed, that when chanting the holy names of the Lord doesn't change. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada indicates that there may be people who chant Hare Krishna, externally show some symptoms, but their heart doesn't really change. Tadashmasharam hridayam batedam yagriha manar harinama deyai. Jale nitrim gatru ruhesha harsha. Tears are meant to come from the eyes, and there should be a change. There should be a change. Tadvikriyater. There should be some change in one's heart. And if that doesn't take place, then there's some artificial chanting going on, or offenses are being committed. One's committing offenses while chanting. So I was reading in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam where Srila Prabhupada said that a trace of devotion, of real devotion, is more valuable than tons of atheism and speculation. And so one may make some external show of devotional service, but it won't be satisfying and it won't be effective at all. However, if one is a humble soul, and even not very advanced apparently, but has within one's heart a very sincere desire to advance in devotional service, then certainly that person will be noticed by Krishna. In the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during the Mahaprakash ceremony, when all the devotees were coming to see Mahaprabhu and to bathe him, he was granting wishes to everybody. And there was a huge assembly of devotees while they were performing the Abhishek. And in the huge crowd of devotees, Mahaprabhu picked out from the crowd a very insignificant devotee named Tuki, who was bringing pots of Ganges water and lining them up and doing other kinds of services for the devotees who were present there. And although there were big personalities present, Mahaprabhu noticed the devotional service of Tuki and asked Srivas Pandit, "Who is this person?" And he said, "She's the servant in our house." And Mahaprabhu said, "What is her name?" Srivas Pandit said, "Dukhi," which means miserable. And Mahaprabhu said, "From this day on, her name will be Sukhi," happy. And point was that he noticed, even though she was in the back, even though her service was very insignificant, he noticed, and he benedicted her. Similarly, Bali Maharaj, when he was with the assembly of demons, in the assembly of demons, and performing a huge yajna, Vamandev came on the scene to cheat him, actually. That was his intention, actually, to take his service. And Bali Maharaj, because of social circumstances, couldn't at that time bow down to Vamandev. Why? He was in the middle of a yajna and he was surrounded by all his demoniac friends and it wouldn't have looked right. Socially, he was the emperor. He couldn't get down and bow down to this beautiful dwarf Brahmin. But in his heart, he was bowing down. As soon as he saw him, he was bowing down in his heart. And later, after Bali Maharaj had received what appeared to be unlimited benedictions from the Lord, the demigods were curious as to how this had occurred, and the answer comes that because the Lord knew his heart. He was Bhavagrahi Janardhan. He is Bhavagrahi Janardhan. He understands the essence of what's in one's heart, the serving mood. Even if one externally is not able to perform that service, if in one's heart one desires to do that, then Krishna will certainly fulfill that desire. And if one has just a trace of that, then one's a very fortunate person. And that sooner or later will become fully manifest in one's outward life. So, atapite deva padam bujadvaya prashara leshanugrihite evahi janati tatvan bhagavan mahimno nachanya eko picharam bachinvan. Lord Brahma says that even if you have a lesha, which means just a trace, a little atom of this sincere desire for devotional service, leshanugrihite evahi, for serving the lotus feet of Krishna, then you can come to know everything about Krishna. You'll come to know him. Whereas through artifice, through any other attempt, you'll not come to know Krishna at any time. You'll know nothing of him. It's a completely a descending process. The quality of mercy is that it falleth gently like the rain. It is not restrained. This Shakespeare said in Merchant of Venice, the quality of mercy is not restrained, it falleth like the rain. It falleth like the gentle rain. One more time, I'll try. The quality of mercy is not restrained. It falleth like the gentle rain from heaven. It falleth from heaven like the gentle rain. I'll try one more time. Because it's nice to hear, isn't it? I mean, just hearing it, I feel better about myself. Okay. The quality of mercy is not restrained. It falleth from heaven like the gentle rain. Okay? Let's have a round for that. Okay. No, for Shakespeare. That's so it's not restrained. Krishna's mercy is not restrained. It falleth like the gentle rain from heaven. And it requires only a sincere heart. When Prahlad Maharaj was just a little boy, of course his father tried to kill him, and then Hiranyakashipu was killed by Lord Nrsingadev. And after he killed Hiranyakashipu, Nrsingadev was still furious, and he was seemingly inconsolable. Everyone came and tried. Lakshmi Devi was afraid of him and didn't even recognize that form of her husband. He was so angry, Lord Nrsingadev. And the demigods came and offered streams of excellent words in perfect Sanskrit. And still, Lord Nrsingadev, furious. And then the demigods came and pushed Prahlad Maharaj forward and it said, "You try." And Srila Prabhupada says that it's like pushing a 5-year-old child into the cage of a lion. But Prahlad wasn't afraid. He says later in his prayers, "I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of your high wedge-like ears, your pinching teeth, your sharp pinching teeth, your roaring that sends the elephants all over the universe running in fear. Your garland of intestines doesn't scare me." He says, what does scare me is the Vishnu Maya, is your external energy. That's scary. That I somehow might slip and fall back down into the process of birth and death. So when Prahlad Maharaj first came to offer prayers to Lord Nrsingadev, he was hesitant. And he said, "Already the demigods have tried. They know Sanskrit. I don't know Sanskrit." He said also that they're born in the mode of goodness. They have excellent qualities of every kind, but I'm a demon. I'm born from a demon father. What can I do? What can I say? And then suddenly he remembered, "Bhaktya tu chosha bhagavan gajayutapaya," the king of the elephants, Gajendra. Gajendra was an elephant. But because he had a trace of sincere devotion within his heart and he offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna accepted it. And he came and he saved Gajendra, the elephant. He's an animal. Hanuman is an animal. Jatayu, an animal. And he was an old bird. And he didn't even win when he fought against Ravana. But he gave everything he could out of sincere devotion to save Sita. And similarly, Gajendra, with a sincere heart, tried to propitiate the Lord. And the Lord accepted. Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. He pleased Krishna. Bhaktya tutosha. He pleased Krishna. And there's only one thing that can please Krishna. And that's that sincere desire to perform unmotivated devotional service. Sincere, the word sincere comes from Latin. And originally when the miners were taking marble from the quarries, it became very valuable. The Romans began building many churches and buildings out of this marble. And then some of the marble had cracks in it. So the quarrymen would put wax in it so it looked like complete marble. And they would sell it for a higher price. But when the heat would come, it would melt and the cracks would show again. So this is called this process of without wax is called sincere. It's the original word. It means sincere. It means without wax. You don't try to put wax in the cracks. And this mood towards Krishna is what's mostly pleasing to him. Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. So in this story, we see the artificial mood of Diti, which is the mood here in the material world, everyone is on the take, everyone wants to get something from someone else, and therefore the world moves as the cheaters and the cheated, everyone taking from someone else artificially. So I have to reform my heart and develop that sincere desire to perform devotional service and please Krishna. And this is the essential point for advancing in devotional service. Externally, I mentioned that symptoms of devotion become manifest in someone whose heart melts. Tadashma sharam hridayam batedam yad grihamaner harinamadeyai. Give me the third line. What is that? There's one line I can't remember. But anyway, this verse says, the heart is steel framed that doesn't melt when I chant Hare Krishna, when I'm performing devotional service. In a similar vein, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, a verse which is immortalized by Srila Ishvara Puri, who taught it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just after his initiation into the chanting of the holy names. Mahaprabhu came back to his spiritual master and said, what kind of mantra did you give me? I've gone crazy. I'm chanting it and I'm acting like a crazy person. I can't restrain myself. And Srila Ishvara Puri said, very good. Now you're becoming advanced. And he said, evamvrata sva priyanama kirtya jitanurago jitatuta uchar hasatyato rautiti rauti gayati unmadavanrititi lokabhayaha. And in this verse, which is the essence of all the verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, according to Srila Ishvara Puri, when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra with a vow, with a vrat, evam vrata sva priyanama kirtya, jatanurago, gradually one becomes attracted to the name and one's heart melts, druta chitta. And then one acts like a madman, dances, sings, cries, falls on the ground in public, doesn't care for outsiders. And in the commentaries for that verse, the acharyas have said, not all people whose hearts have melted and who are in advanced stage show external symptoms, like crying and hair standing on end and so forth, trance. But all who are advanced show at least two symptoms, always. Should I say what they are? Yes. Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. The first one is steadiness. A person who is advancing in devotional service is always steady. And the second is that his or her speech is merciful. You can tell by how someone speaks, what is the state of their heart. But a person who's advancing, whose heart is melting, speaks for the benefit of others. These two symptoms are always there. I'm mentioning these things in a search to find the essence of what's most important in devotional service so that I can focus on it. Because by doing so, then immediately there's progress. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Neha bikramanashosti pratyavayona vidyate swalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatopayat. This reminds me of what I said earlier, the verse from the Bhagavatam, Leshana Grihita Evahi, just a trace. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Su Alpam, just a tiny bit of this mood of devotion towards Krishna. It saves the day, saves you from falling down into the lower modes of nature and losing the opportunity. What do you think so far? Are you buying this? Huh? I just took the word artificial out of here, and I'm working off of that because of Ditti's mood was artificial. And then I was thinking about what it means to be artificial. And that really, then I didn't develop it very much, but I was saying that everything in this world is artificial. This coming up, this next verse talks about how Brahma created these dualities, man and woman, man was there, then woman came to keep everything moving, keep the Home Depot open. If there was no man and woman, there'd be no Home Depot. Pumsa Sriya Maitindiba Mitudibhavamitam Tayomritu Hridaya Granthamahu Atogriya Kshetra Sutapta Vitar Janasya Moho Yamahamameti. This is the theme of Home Depot. That when a man and woman come together, then there's a hard knot in the heart, and the acharyas say that that knot is hard because there's two people grabbing onto each other. If he says, Jiva Goswami says, sometimes a sannyasi also becomes attached to a few things, you know, a water pot and a danda, but it's not that big a deal because it doesn't grab him back. But in the relationship between Pumsa Striya, there's mutual grabbing, and then there's more and more entanglement. It's difficult to get out of, and this is pointed out as artifice. The forms of male and female in the material world are the artificial forms that come from the spiritual world, and therefore it's a kind of illusion. Janasya moho yamaham imeti. So to become free from that illusion, that artifice, and the artificial life in the material world, one must turn one's attention towards the reality. Understand who I am. I'm actually an eternal servant of Krishna. And by engaging myself to please Krishna as his servant, I become the servant of the servant of the servant, then I'm actually making progress in life, and I'm not living in an artificial way. And my when somebody surrenders to Krishna and is only depending on Krishna, he or she is not dependent on artifice. I don't have to make an artificial show externally. This is also, I think, an important point, at least it is to me, that if in my heart I've decided to surrender to Krishna, then I don't have to make an external show anywhere else because I can just be who I am in relationship to surrendering to Krishna, because Krishna knows what's in my heart. Who cares what other people think they know or don't know? As long as I'm sincere and I've plumbed the depths of my heart and I find out where that sincerity is and I apply that as much as possible in my life, then who cares what else happens? I'm just an instrument. And if I work as an instrument in that vein, then I become unstoppable in my devotional service. My devotional service becomes unstoppable because I won't stop. There's no reason to. As mentioned in the handbook, the warfare handbook for the Marine Corps, not to change the subject, but it's related. There's very interesting, written by a general. He talks about warfare and how the bigger army doesn't always beat the smaller army. Yes, the bigger army doesn't always win. But the army in which the leaders, in the leader's heart, the resolve to stay the course and fight till the death, that's the side that wins. In other words, someone who says, I'll do or die, and I won't give up for any reason, that's in their heart. If that's planted in their heart, they can appear to be a pipsqueak externally, but they will win. That's where it all comes from. And you look at Prabhupada's determination when he came to America. Everything was against him. Everything was against him. If he had gone to a venture capitalist and say, listen, I'm going to open up 108 temples, and I'm going to have, I'm going to have this Govinda's restaurants all over the world, and we're going to have CDs, and we're going to have, cars and drums and all these kinds of things. I need some capital for this. Help me out here. Here's my plan. And they would have just said, forget it. But he didn't need that because he had that determination in his heart that I'm going to follow the order of my spiritual master no matter what happens. Do or die. And because of that, look what happened. That's what happens externally when that's what's in the heart. And when that's not in the heart, then nothing happens of significance externally. It's all artifice. It's artificial. It doesn't mean anything. And that's the whole material world's going on under that idea. It's artificial idea. So one has to turn one's attention towards Krishna in devotion and cultivate that atom of devotion within one's heart. And then one will be successful in everything, no matter where one goes and what situation. Right? Yes? Are you sure? Okay. And today is the appearance day of Lord Varahadev, who appeared to save the earth. So please, let's give a big cheer. That's good, but that was a small cheer. He saved the earth. I mean, what if you saw in the paper today that Varahadev saves earth? How would you feel about that? Kind of. That's like about a 4 on a scale of 10. Let's say he saved the earth, and everything at stake on the whole earth and our whole futures and everything was saved by a gigantic transcendental pig. How would you feel? You woke up this morning. Okay, come on. Give it now. Correct. That's it. That's Varahadev's appearance. And he made that kind of roar himself. See, there was this exchange. He came out of the nostril of Brahma. Because Brahma was trying to figure out, the sages came to him and said, the earth sunk down into the water, the Garbhadak. How are you going to get it out? And Brahma, being the manager, and we said yesterday, manager means? Whatever, if anything goes wrong, it's my fault. That's what management means. Any of you young devotees thinking about getting into management, just keep that in mind. So Brahma was a manager. And everyone came to him. That's what happens in managers do. Everyone comes saying, why don't you fix this? Why don't you fix that? Why'd you do this? Why didn't you do that? So they came to Brahma, and they were all saying, why don't you fix this? The earth's gone into the Garbhadak. So Brahma was a pure devotee, and he decided to pray to Krishna. And that's what good managers, great managers do. Because it says that a good lawyer knows the law, and a great lawyer knows the judge. So that's Brahma. So Brahma started praying to Krishna, please save me. And then out of his nostril comes Varahadev. And Varahadev started as the size of a thumb, and then he grew into the size of a mountain. And he started roaring. He made this roaring sound. And on the upper planets, Satyaloka, the Janaloka, Tapaloka, this is where very exalted souls live. They're so in tune. They're always listening. They're doing yajna constantly up there. And they're always thinking of Krishna. And they're just trying to stay close to him. So imagine their delight when they heard this roaring of Varahadev. This huge roar coming from this transcendental Varaha. And when they heard it, they started reciting the Vedic hymns because they recognized that sound vibration coming from Varaha was actually the sound of the Vedas. So they responded, Sahasra Shirsha Purusha Sahasra Ksa Sahasra Ba Sabhuming Vishvato Vritpat Atyatishtata Shangulam, singing out the Vedic prayers. And Varaha roars again to encourage them. And the reason that Brahma was able to be the conduit for the appearance of Varaha in this world, I think this is one of the most important points in this chapter, that we can take away something from this pastime today, very practical, mentioned in the purport in this chapter. You see, he breathed out the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why do you think that is? He was able to do that. Archita has posited that. Go ahead. You said? Because Brahma has Lord Krishna in his heart. How did he get in there? Because he breathed in, he inhaled the Vedas. By hearing from the Lord. You know earlier in the second chapter that he listened with all intent and a purpose for pure devotional service. He listened to the Lord. He inhaled it. That's what Prabhupada said. That's, Prabhupada mentions in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, how to listen to Bhagavatam. He said, you have to listen to it like you're drinking it with your ears. It's a beverage. Drink it. Nigama kalpataror galitam palam shukamukaram mrita dravasam yutam. It's like a smoothie. You got to drink it. Yeah, it's semi-solid. It's not, you can drink it. It's the sweetest thing. So Brahma drank that. He drank that. That's why he had the Lord in his heart. Of course, the Lord's in everyone's heart. But he's there as Paramatma, not as Lord Bore, the essence of all yajna. But because Brahma was enlightened by hearing, the hearing process. Therefore, Shrinvatam swa kata Krishna, punya shravana kirtana, hridyan taksto hibhadrani vidhunoti suritsatam. Let's say it all together. Shrinvatam swakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyan taksto hibhadrani vidhunoti suritsatam. Lord Sri Krishna, who is the Paramatma, the super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor, the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. And probably more appropriate is the verse in the second verse in the Bhagavatam, which says that when one listens to the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, then Krishna stays in the heart. As Prabhupada says, he becomes compact within the heart. Doesn't he say that? He says it. So by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna won't leave your heart. He's there. So Brahma inhaled the Vedas by listening. And therefore, when he sat and prayed to the Lord, Krishna came back out again. So this is the process. When we attentively hear the sound vibration of Bhagavad Gita, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and the Srimad Bhagavatam, then what comes out will be the Vedas. That breathing will manifest Krishna. And then this is the essence of this kind of pure speech, where we can have the effect on the world. We can change the world by our speaking, by our breathing. So Varahadev saved the earth. It's a big day today. We should tell everyone. We are going to tell everyone. We're going to go door to door and tell people that the earth has been saved by a transcendental pig. That's our opening line when we go door to door today. Who's there? Yeah, it's Vaisheshika Das from Burlingame. And they open the door. Say, we have big news for you, sir. The earth has been saved by a transcendental pig. Who are you and what would you like? We'd like to tell you more about this, and we can then hand them a book. So that's the plan, in case anybody was interested in what we're going to do today. You have to come and see how that works out. So are there any questions or reflections? Badarayana Prabhu.
On a moment-to-moment basis.
Can we have the microphone? It's being broadcast. They can't hear you without.
Thank you so much for enlightening this course. On a moment-to-moment basis, we make decisions and we perform actions. So could you kindly discuss the intermotive ability to analyze this mood of our decisions and our thoughts and our actions sincere? Are they artifice? Is there artifice there? Are they genuinely motivated?
If I understand you correctly, your question was, how can we look in our heart and see if we're actually sincere?
Yes.
And analyze our motive.
Decisions and actions that we perform.
So your question is, in accordance with our day-to-day decisions and actions, how can we decide if we're making sincere choices to serve Krishna? Is that correct?
Correct.
Well, from my personal experience, it's not easy, because there are complicated decisions to make, especially if you're someone who sees things both ways. I do. It's difficult being a manager in that sense, because someone tells me one thing, another person tells me another, and I see merit in both sides. If you feel right, wrong, but never in doubt, it's more expedient.
but to actually take a close look and try to analyze what's the right thing to do takes some work. So you're asking how to do that. The way I do it, to the best of my ability, one way is to take help from mentors. I keep mentors on a Rolodex. I have a list of mentors on my computer where I keep folders, things that they've told me, and I contact them all the time. Devotees who I look up to, because I see it in them. I see the sincerity in them. I see their steadiness. I see that their speech is merciful. I've watched them. I'm close to them, and therefore I trust them. And I recognize that they're more advanced than I am. So oftentimes when I have a hard decision to make, I'll call up mentor one and say, here's the problem. What should I do? Then I call mentor two. I say, here's the problem. What should I do? And generally with a composite, talking to various devotees, I get my own realization thinking about it. I mean, if you said day to day, so if it's a decision you have to make right away, you know, immediately, then, it's a matter of the right choice is always to decide what is best for devotional service. This is the surrender process. What is favorable for devotional service, I accept it. What's unfavorable for my devotional service, I reject it. When looking to, Nirkula and I moved to the Bay Area in San Francisco, and we were looking for a place to live, so we're just trying to make a decision where was the best place to buy a house. And there were much bigger, better places far away from the San Francisco airport, but we decided that if we lived far away from the airport, I wouldn't go there. At the time, I was going to the airport every day, the San Francisco airport, to distribute books. So we decided, okay, what's more favorable? Live right next to the airport. So we bought the house there, made the decision based on what was more favorable for devotional service. Turned out to be the right decision in many different ways. And it's hard to know what the next step is sometimes. Steve Jobs said this in his commencement speech at Stanford. Did you all hear that? He said there were three major periods in his life. And first he talked about when he was broke and barefoot and he used to walk to the Hare Krishna temple to get a meal across town to get some, a decent meal for the day. And then he talked about how he started Apple and it became successful. And then he hired a CEO from Pepsi Cola who came over and then fired him. And he thought, this is the end of the world. And then he realized later on that it wasn't. Actually, it was a great opportunity that he had been fired because he started Pixar, and that was much bigger and, brought his creative side out. So he named different phases in his life. I won't go into all of them right now, but the point was he made that you can't connect the dots forward sometimes. Very difficult to see what's going to happen. And devotees are always in this self-searching mood to see what is the correct thing and to balance how they're moving in life with guru, sadhu, shastra, and these three points. If you have one point on a page and you just draw a line, you can draw it from any direction. If you have two points on the page, then you're going to get a straight line. So you line it up with as many authorities as you can.
In that regard, I was just reading Chandra Pandit states that for a leader, for a king, that to make the proper decision, that he should take counsel of his three top advisors, and if they all say the same thing, he should act on that decision.
What if they don't?
Then he's screwed.
Okay, Sri Mukunda Datta Prabhu. Thank you, Badarayana Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
quality of earth is not strange, it droppeth as a gentle rain from heaven. Upon the place beneath, it is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes. 'Tis mightiest in the mightiest. It becomes the throned monarch better than his crown.
Can you give a little commentary on that? Thank you very much. Amala Bhakta Prabhu, where did you learn that? When did you learn that?
In the seventh grade.
In the seventh grade. Why did you learn that? You were learning Merchant of Venice or that verse?
So we had it as an assignment. The teacher said everyone must memorize that. We weren't reading the Merchant of Venice, but everyone had
to. Do you remember the whole thing? Do you remember the whole thing?
No, just those first few lines.
Do you do it again? One more time.
The quality of mercy is not strange. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven. That's all.
That's nice. That could be our mantra for the day. Yeah, remember, the mercy's there. It's falling. It's always available. A lot of times I think about this at the Brahma Muhurta hour. If you just are there for the Brahma Muhurta hour, there's mercy just falling through the air. You just have to be there to catch it. And if you miss it, you miss it. And that's one thing about bhakti. You just have to be there. You have to show up. I go to Jayapur to the Radha Govinda Mandir for Mangal Artik. Now, if you just show up for that, your life's different. If you go to the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan and you show up for the evening kirtan and the 24-hour kirtan devotees are there and you just sit down for half an hour, you're different after you walk away. You're not the same. And all you did was sit down. You just showed up. And that mercy, it droppeth like gentle rain from the heavens. And so Krishna's like that. He's dropping mercy everywhere, but you have to be there. You have to show up to get it. Were there more points? Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Quick comment. Thank you. Wonderful class. Quick comment and a question. Papa quoted that passage. Not in its entirety, but you definitely quoted that in the lecture. I don't remember clearly. Is it Portia? Is it Merchant of Venice? The character Portia? And that. And the Prabhupada quoted it. I'll find it on the database for you later on. And then my question is.
Then it's definitely our verse for the day.
Yeah.
I was feeling a little squeamish about recommending it, but now, there you go. Okay.
So Prabhupada, at least on one occasion, said imitation of a good thing is good. So, you know, you're representing the downside of imitation. The class, you know, imitation being something artificial is imitation. But at least on one occasion, I know that, do you remember that? Prabhupada saying that imitation of a good thing is good. So what did he mean by that? What could possibly be good about imitation? It doesn't sound like there's anything good about imitation, you know, from the class. But,
well, Prabhupada talks about how children imitate. They grow up imitating the parents. And I see that, you know, that's how children learn. They watch and then they imitate. Children who grow up in devotee families, they'll do what the mother and father do. And then, because bhakti is so powerful, because they're, even though they're imitating, it's not a fully realized situation. They're not fully realized in it. They grow into it, and they pick it up. And so we learn by imitating. At the same time, we have to be careful of this niyamagraha, which means to just imitate without knowing why we're doing it. Krishna tells Uddhava in the 11th canto that you purify a mantra by learning about it. So, you know, if you're doing mantras, but you study them, you see what's in this mantra, you become much more interested in it. And similarly, with any of the bhakti practices, if you actually study it, don't do it just as imitation, but you go deeply within the science, then it becomes meaningful. So imitation's a good thing in the beginning, but we should not let it run off into niyamagraha and simply become rote or without consciousness, because consciousness is everything. Yeah. Sachidanoi Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice presentation. In the beginning of your class, you were mentioning about the whole world is artificial, meaning like the material world, and the real thing is the spiritual world. So since most of the inhabitants in this material world, in our view, according to the scriptures, is like 90% or 99%, they live an artificial way of living by not embracing bhakti. How can we convey the message to the people in such a way that we don't disrupt the so-called normal way of living? Because for them, to try to bring bhakti, it would be too much, like even scary. And they would find like, okay, now my partner is living an artificial way of living as we used to live before. We have a different standard of living. So how can we bring it softly and nicely in such a way that they make advancement without we causing them to, you know, like break up families and, you know, my son joined the Hare Krishna, my wife is joining, my husband is joining, I'm not joining, I don't like it. This is artificial, we didn't do this, it's not our tradition, it's not our custom. So we still want out of compassion, need this gentle rain of mercy on them with love. Can you advise us how to do it?
Well, fortunately, Krishna has already advised us in the Bhagavad Gita, and he said you should set the example for others. And you don't have to disturb their minds with much philosophy, but if you set an example, then they'll do it. One devotee recently had written to me. She was going down to be with her family in Africa, and not all of them were accustomed to devotional services or any of the practices she was doing, and she was wondering, you know, what should I do? They might reject it, or they might think it was odd, or they might be interested, but I'm not sure how to approach them. And my advice to her was just don't tell them anything, but set a very good example by your own practice, your daily practice. Just let them observe you, but don't say anything about it. So she did that, and then she wrote back and said, now they're all asking me. They want to know, what are you doing? Can we come? And so if one sets an example for others, especially by one's kind heart and good example, then other people want to follow, because naturally those who are sincere, they're looking for a higher quality of life. That's what the soul's always looking for, a higher quality somewhere. And if they recognize it, they'll ask you, how do I get that? So you should show it in your own behavior. Nirkula.
I was thinking when you were talking about Lord Brahma and hailing the Vedas, that we have that example of Srila Prabhupada inhaling the instruction that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj gave him, and how he took that instruction to preach in the West to his heart, sincerely, and what that manifest, just by that sincerity and by that inhaling of the words of his Guru Maharaj.
It's a nice point, and I was just writing something about this the other day, about taking the order, and I found this profound statement by Prabhupada in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, where he says that the order of the Lord or the spiritual master is the internal energy. It's the internal energy of the Lord. And that you'll come to see the Lord face to face by taking the order. Do you like that? Bhadarayana likes it. Yeah. So this point about the order, it's nothing insignificant. When Prabhupada went to meet Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he said, I was dragged there by my friends, because he had seen a lot of sadhus and he wasn't impressed. And so when he came there, he was just offering obeisance, just as he was sitting up, his spiritual master, future spiritual master, or there he accepted him in his heart just then. He was already giving him an instruction. He describes how just even he barely got in the door, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was telling him to preach and take this to the Western countries. And so that's the most significant thing. If you get that and inhale it and just keep it, That's the lifeline. And that is the internal energy of Krishna. And that will bring us to see Krishna face to face. And on that note, it is time for prasadam soon. And it's Dwadashi. So that's good news. Right? So I would like to thank Suvas and Tadit for their stalwart maintenance of this institution here on the west coast of America, which has become famous all over the world. Everywhere you go, you see pictures of Shishi Rukmini Dwarkadish. And whenever I meet people who don't know much about America and I say, you know, I'm from ISKCON, California, they go, oh, Los Angeles, because it's famous, this place. We find the grounds to be immaculate and the life of the devotees here to be vibrant and the deities spectacularly taken care of. And this is not an easy thing. So I would like to thank them from the bottom of my heart for allowing us to come here and be part of this. Thank you for maintaining this standard for so many years. Hare Krishna. And to all the devotees at New Dwarka who are setting example by living together in a community and cooperating and expanding the Krishna consciousness movement, thank you very much. This is the essence of spiritual practice, to cooperate with others for the sake of expanding the message of Krishna all over the world, and you're doing that. So thank you to all the residents. Give yourselves a hand. <laughs> 10 o'clock, we're going to meet in here, and I'm going to pass on to you some information that is very, 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 very important. It will change the way you look at Sankirtan, and if you're already doing Sankirtan, you're going to pick up a few tools that will send you on an upward trajectory. Whatever, how many books you're doing now, you'll double it. You'll double the amount of books that you're doing now. Guaranteed, or your money back from the seminar today. And the seminar's free, so please come at 10. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, New Dwarka Dham ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Bol!
Jai!
Chidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhi Govinda Sarva Karma Karana Chintamani Prabhu.